renewables, essential for clean energy technologies, and create jobs? Opponents say the environmental and health risks are simply too high.
They revoked a 20-year mining moratorium after massive amounts of environmental review and assessment.
Scientists and environmental groups warn that sulfide mining used to extract copper and nickel can produce acid mine drainage that can leak toxic metals into waterways. The Boundary Waters lies at the center of Grand Portage, Boise Fort, and Fond du Lac Ojibwe Treaty Territory.
Those treaties obligate the federal government to protect the rights of Minnesota's tribal nations.
Well, that's going to affect our resources, our treaty rights.
Shane Drift is the District 1 representative for the Boise Fort Band tribal government.
Our casino on Fortune Bay is close by the Boundary Waters. It's close to Ely. Fortune Bay Resort Casino relies heavily on tourism, and the Minnesota tourism is way too important to mess around with.
Even with the ban lifted, the project must clear extensive environmental reviews before any mining begins. For Minnesota Native News, I'm Chaz Wagner.
Next, producer Deanna Standing Cloud tells us how supporting community is part of the celebration of this year's American Indian Month.
May 1st kicks off American Indian Month in Minnesota, a time-honored celebration since 1969.
I've been coming to the kickoff to American Indian Month Parade for 15 years, as long as I've lived in Minneapolis, and I continue to come back because I feel like it is a great space for all of community to gather, to mingle, to see one another, to get in those good laughs, those healing moments.
Sierra Villabrin is the program coordinator for the Women of Traditional Birthing Program at the Division of Indian Work. The organization represents one of over 60 that provides services to Native families in the metro. Every year, these organizations and members of the Twin Cities Native community celebrate American Indian Month with a parade, powwow, and other activities.
Coming from alcohol struggling, I was not connected to that. And today it is really love and learn to love.
Leroy Shabayash is from the Fond du Lac Band of Ojibwe and has turned to services from these organizations and to his community to support his journey of sobriety.
I've been in recovery for 40 years, so that has really helped me on this red road. Praying every morning, smudging down, out here helping, being part of the community. That's where healing comes from.
Sierra and Leroy are of over 50,000 Native people in the Twin Cities metro area, according to census data. They are a part of a Minneapolis tradition nearly 60 years old. To learn more about the ongoing American Indian Month events for 2026, follow the Metropolitan Urban Indian Director's Facebook page. For Minnesota Native News, I'm Deanna Standing Cloud.
That's all for this week's episode. Join us next time for more voices and stories that inform, uplift, and shape our communities right here on Minnesota Native News. Minnesota Native News is produced by Ampers, diverse radio for Minnesota's communities, made possible by funding from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund and the citizens of Minnesota.
The viewpoints expressed in this program are the opinions of the people expressing them, and not necessarily those of Fresh Air Incorporated, its staff, or its board of directors.
Bonjour, hello, welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Leah Lem. Today we're revisiting our chat with Rick Holland. Rick lives in the Cass Lake community and is a White Earth Nation citizen, and he's passionate about pets and animals and their care. In our conversation, Rick Holland shares more about his role as community outreach manager for the Leech Lake Tribal Police. Please enjoy our conversation with Rick Holland from June of 2025.
One of the things that just bothers me so much, and what's a good part of this job, is when these dogs need this little extra care, you know, and it gets to be $1,000 or $2,000 bill, we work with it. We have people we work with, we do stuff, and they don't have to give up their animal because that's a part of their family. My goal is never to take an animal away from somebody. I do what I can do to help keep them in the home where they belong.
Bonjour, hello, welcome to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. I'm your host, Leah Lem.
And I'm your other host, Co-Primo. Meet Gwaits for joining us today on Native Lights. which is more than a podcast and radio show. At its core, it's a place for Native folks to tell their stories. Each and every week, we have captivating conversations with great guests from a whole lot of different backgrounds. We're talking musicians, artists, community leaders, animal advocates, you name it. They have a wonderful mixture of passions, and we talk to them about their gifts and how they share those gifts with the community. And it centers around the big point of purpose in our lives and amplifying Native voices. What's going on, Leah? How you doing?
I'm well, thank you. You might hear some scurrying back and forth above me, a lot of footsteps. I don't have a quiet family, I must say. The kid is running around. The dog is running around.
No, it's all good.
You know, you might hear them a little bit, but I hope it's not too distracting.
No, it's fine. I don't hear too much, but it's always nice to see the kid or the doggo join us.
Just popping in.
Walk haphazardly into the frame.
For a random hello.
We've always been pet people, haven't we? Kind of, right?
We are very pet friendly here. It has been kind of, you know, I would say part of a point of purpose in our lives too.
Yeah.
From time to time with our animal relatives.
Yeah, we had a family dog growing up, Susie.
Mm-hmm.
May she rest in peace. She was awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what other pets have you had?
Susie was the first, and then I met my wonderful wife 11 years ago, and she had Stanley, who is now going on 14, coming October here. So,
mm-hmm.
Two doggos. Cats, unfortunately, I cannot be around because I'm allergic to them.
Mm-hmm.
Even though I wouldn't mind one of those Norwegian, just the big fluffy cats. I would love that. That'd be fun. But
mm-hmm.
How about you, Leah?
So I think the first dog we got, yes, was Dutch Basset Hound mix.
Mm-hmm.
He was pretty rad. The lowest woof you'd ever hear. Woof. He had the energy to like make one big woof and then he'd settle back down. And then Coda, who was a black dog, just a mix of stuff, retriever, I'm sure. But she was awesome too. And we had always gotten adult dogs. So they were with us a little shorter of a time. But now we have Radagast, who is, of course, a puppy.
Mm-hmm.
And a German short-haired pointer. Very smart, very smart.
A lot of energy?
Yes, infinite energy. Yes, sir. And we get to talk to somebody who is also super into pets.
Yeah.
Today, we are very excited to speak with Rick Holland, an animal rescuer and advocate who is the Pets for Life Community Outreach Manager for the Leech Lake Tribal Police. Pets for Life works to bridge the gap between pet owners and affordable, accessible medical care. Rick is also currently the 5th District Commissioner and Board Chair for Cass County.
Awesome.
Really excited to talk to Rick Holland today. And here he is. Bonjour, Rick.
Hello.
Thank you for joining us. All right. Bonjour, Rick. Could you start out by introducing yourself, you know, letting us know where you're joining us from, all that good stuff?
My name is Rick Holland. I am joining you from Cass Lake, Minnesota. I work for the Leech Lake Tribal Police as in a grant position through Pets for Life.
Awesome. How are you? How's the family? How are you doing?
All is good. Busy loading food and stuff today.
Well, Rick, is there anything that you are working on these days that you're kind of excited about?
Getting a clinic going here on Leech Lake. It'll be in Cass Lake. We were in the process of trying to build, and it keeps getting caught up in paperwork and stuff like that. A facility came open just on the west edge of town that will perfectly serve our needs, so we went and looked at that. And we're just waiting on confirmation back. We did some soil testing to make sure there's no contaminants or anything like that. I'm hoping we'll hear back on that soon and we can move forward.
And what's it called?
Leech Lake Animal Wellness Center.
So is this separate from your Pets for Life work?
At Pets for Life, my job is to help people keep their animals, to whatever I can do with taking them to the vet, helping them with vet costs,
to spays and neuters, vaccinations, collars, leashes, tie-outs, cables, shelters, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. That's for the band?
Yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm. We serve everybody within the reservation boundaries.
Okay. Could you share a bit of history about Pets for Life and why it started with Leech Lake there?
The need of veterinary care, and we're kind of in a veterinary desert. You know, I'm in the middle of Grand Rapids, Bemidji. So when we need pet care, it's one or the other. Grand Rapids has got really hard to get into, so a lot of Bemidji. I go give people rides, or I pick their pets up to bring them in, take them to a vet appointment, stuff like that. So if I'm in S Lake or Inger, I'm an hour plus away. You get them treated, take them home. It sometimes gets to be some pretty long days, a lot of miles put on. And that was a need that was coming about here a lot. We were losing animals to things like porcupine quills or simple things that were going on because there just wasn't a way to get them to the care that they needed. So they seen the need, came here and contacted me to after a few rounds of interviews, and they said that I was the guy for the job, so I needed to come in and interview for it. So well, here I am, 7 years later.
Wonderful. Well, we just love our pets, so really excited to chat with you about that. But did you notice a need then for this? Like, what's your capacity there at Pets for Life? How many animals can you take care of?
I do as many as I can. We've done high-volume spay-neuter clinics. My high-volume spay-neuter clinics come in, and we do 150 spays and neuters in a weekend, plus wellness. I have serves come out of the cities. People come through with their pets, and the students help to talk with them, show them what's going on with each pet. And it's very helpful that people understand what the process is and what's going on. And it helps them to treat their animals better when they're at home, too, to watch for stuff, things like that. You know, my capacity is as much as I can handle till I run out of money. That's how I go. So somebody says, whoa.
You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're revisiting our chat with Rick Holland, animal rescuer and advocate with the Leech Lake Tribal Police.
So Pets for Life is part of the Humane Society?
Yeah, the Humane World for Animals. It used to be the Humane Society of the United States. They just changed it to the Humane World for Animals. It's like a branch off of there. The lady I work with is out of Atlanta, Georgia. Her name is Rachel Thompson. She's the boss lady, what I call her. Anyway, but she's a great helper, a great supporter of what we do here. Just a phone call away and always has an answer, you know.
Leech Lake is one of the first Indigenous communities to join that Pets for Life program. Is that correct?
Yeah, that is correct. We were one of the first. There's more popping up all the time now, and it's showing to be a good thing. I do a lot of work with her. I talk with a lot of the other tribal places around us. White Earth, Mille Lacs, some with Red Lake, just trying to help with what we can help with.
Yeah, I was curious if that could translate to other tribes.
Yeah, and I have volunteers that work with me pretty closely, and sometimes they go there to help with what we know from here to help them too. So that's a great thing that works out.
Well, what kind of pets do you work with?
Dogs, cats. Saturday, I had a rabbit for a little while. We've had many different things. When we get the new building, we're hoping that we can expand to maybe doing some wildlife. With a number of injured eagles and owls, and this happens with this place, we'll have plenty of space to do that.
Have you had a surprising pet come through?
I went and picked up hamsters one day from a lady who wanted to surrender the hamsters. And so I called around, had somebody wanted to get them. When I picked them up, there was three. When I got to town, there was 13. We had babies on the way.
Holy hell. So, wow, got more than they bargained for.
Exotics, I haven't had none of that yet. We've had a couple of birds that have showed up, you know, and got them to people who take care of them and stuff. A lot of people, as they're traveling through here, pick our dogs up along the road because they think they're just straying, they're going to get run over and stuff. And actually, they're just kind of traveling. And I've had many times where we find the dogs and, you know, they'll be on in Pequot Lakes at Babinski or they'll be in as far as Golden Valley at the Animal Humane down there. They drop them off because they think they're doing a good thing. And yeah, then we have to take a ride and go get their animal back.
I was curious, do you have a, you know, like a special dog rescuing story that, you know, kind of stays with you?
You know, when I first started, there was a dog named Winston. I got called to go out to the house. They were talking euthanasia. And I got there and was asking them what's going on. They said, well, he's got porcupine quills so bad that we don't think he'll survive. And it's been 5 days. And so I said, well, where is he at? Well, he's under the porch and he won't come out. First thing I did was set my kennel up outside the van. I said, well, if he hasn't been out, he hasn't ate or none of that stuff. And they said, no. So I got some canned dog food out and flicked a little bit under the porch, and I heard him move, and he made his way out. He crawled out. He was trying to eat the food, and oh my gosh, he had, it was horrifying, the sight of him. Got him up. He walked into the kennel and sat down, like, please help me. And so I loaded him in my van. I took him into the clinic in Bemidji at that time, and I said, you know, let's see what we can do. If it has to be the worst, it has to be the worst. But so they said, okay. So I left him because I had another call to go to. They called me like 2 hours later and said, he's going to make it. He's going to need some extensive care, but he'll make it. And you'll have to surrender him if they can't afford to pay for it. And one of the things that just bothers me so much, and what's a good part of this job, is when these dogs need this little extra care, you know, and it gets to be $1,000 or $2,000 bill, we work with it. We have people we work with, we do stuff, and they don't have to give up their animal because that's a part of their family. And that's what bothered me so much with this. I went back and told him, I said, well, he's going to survive, but he'll probably have to be surrendered, being you guys can't afford to pay for him. And the young lady that was there, she was just so heartbroken. I felt so bad. I thought about it, and I called Rachel the next morning. I said, is there anything we can do to make this work? You know, and she said, well, let's make some phone calls. So we got him down to a veterinary college in southern Minnesota, and they started working on him. Oh, my gosh. He was there for 4 months having surgeries because the quills had went into his joints and into his body in so many places. The infection was crazy. They called and said, well, we can bring him back, you know, for you. And this was quite a while later. And he came back, and I didn't even recognize him when he came back. And what a healthy dog he was, and happy. And I said, okay. So I called the people, and I called her mom, and I said, I'm bringing Winston home. He'll be there shortly. And she was like, really? And I said, yep. So, and it was weird because we started down the road, and we were like 2 miles from his house. And he started getting all loud in his kennel back there, and he knew where he was going, you know. So he got there, and I opened the kennel up, and he jumped out, and he went running to that little girl. If nothing good ever happened in my life again, that was worth it, to watch them two come back together. I had to have him in quite a few more times for follow-ups and stuff because infection was so bad in his body. They just keep popping up where quills pass through that they could never get out. He just passed away this last year, but he lived a good life, a well-loved life. And I checked on him every couple of weeks. I'll go out and see him and stuff like that. Yeah, that was my story. I think the biggest thing is you have to build trust with the people where you work at around here. And I've been here all my life in many different positions, and I have really good rapport and all over the reservation. But pretty much everybody knows me. If there's something we can do at home to make it better. Sometimes a lot of this stuff doesn't require a veterinarian. We can take a little time and work through it and get things out. We bring them into our holding facility sometimes just to care for them, get them past the infection, stuff like that, just to help them. And it eases up on the owners too, because they're trying really hard. Sometimes they just need that little break to make things better. My goal is never to take an animal away from somebody. I do what I can do to help keep them home, help keep them in the home where they belong. I believe they were put here to walk with us, to help us, to guide us in a lot of ways. I know my animals at home, when I get sick, I had some troubles last year and I was sick, and my dogs never left my side. They didn't care about going outside. They didn't care. They wanted to be right there to help me, you know. And I appreciated that so much that somebody was watching me, you know. And I know people do that. We've been taking care of animals when people go into lose their places, they go into homeless shelter. And I work with them. We'll take care of their cats or their dogs until they get a place where they can go again to bring their animal with them. Sometimes it gets to be a little long, but I ask them to come out every couple of weeks and spend a little time with their animal and let them know that you're still a part of their life. You're just trying to get it straightened out, get it better. And that's been happening really good. So
awesome. Well, you know, I'm just kind of curious where the passion came from. What brought you to the position you're in?
Well, you know, we grew up living in Bena behind a big fish there, and we brought everything home that could possibly be brought home, probably. We used to have raccoons. We had baby deer. The mamas got hit, stuff like that, that would take care of as long as we could to get them somewhere. We used to sit on our deck and feed the bear cubs, and mama bear would let them climb right up with us and sit there, and would feed them marshmallows or bread or something like that. As long as we threw her something, she never got excited. And I'm an avid hunter, avid fisherman. I love it. But it's a cycle. You care for what you can when you can. If I come across something that's wounded and I think we can help it, I'm going to try. My dad was always big on be good. Just be good to everything around you.
That's a good lesson. But and you also manage dog obedience courses?
Yeah, we had a dog obedience class. That was the first one we've had, and we're going to continue with it as time becomes available. Bringing 21 dogs into a room, and we never had one issue with aggressiveness left like that. And at the end of the 10 weeks, the dogs are all unleashed, sitting there in their positions, never bothered with another dog, recalled to their owners and stuff like that. That amazed me. The trainer we worked with was so excited about it, too, that he wants to do more as his time becomes available again. It probably won't be till late fall. We'll run a couple courses through the next winter again, too. We have a building for it, so we can make it work. One of our star dogs at the obedience training was one of my volunteers took home one of the sick puppies from the pound, and then she was what we call a foster fail. She didn't want to give it back when she got it well. That was the star of the show. Yeah, and now she's well-trained, and we're looking for a good home for her, for someone to take care of her and stuff, and move on so we can start working on another one. Her name is Molly, the Husky mix.
Molly, got it. Well, what pets do you have now, Rick?
I have a German Shepherd named Sarge. He's a monster German Shepherd, 130-some pounds. Hmm. He was just a dog that showed up, never left me. I have a healer. His name is Zippy. I say he's the devil in fur because he gets into everything. He don't care what it is. And I have my pit bull that I had when I was a long time ago. I gave him to my daughter when she was having some troubles in life and to help her through. And she recently got a house where she can't take him. So she brought him back to me, and he's just living life for Riley right now. He's spoiled. So, and I have a cat. The cat is a cat. You don't hardly see him. Just make sure there's food or you hear about it.
Well, how about like a first pet?
We had so many animals growing up. There were times when we had 5 and 6 dogs. And then I think the dog that probably does it was a dog named Drifter. We used to live on Highway 200 between Roy Lake and Monoman at a place called The Ranch. And this dog come walking through one day, and I was sitting on the porch one morning early eating breakfast, and he sat down by me, and I fed him a little bit, and he never left. He stayed with me. And I used to go to my grandparents in Ada and help them work in the summer. And I was telling him, you got to stay here now. I want to go to work. I'll be back in a couple of weeks. My mom called me like 4 days later, and she said, your dog disappeared. I was like, oh, no. And it was 2 days after that, he showed up at my grandparents' house. I was outside riding my bike after working. I just was out on the street, and I looked down the street, and I was like, what the heck? Drifter, is that you? He come running.
Wow.
But he had made a trip a couple times with us, you know, back and forth, but never.
But not by foot or by paw.
Yeah, that was crazy. Yeah. But yeah, he did it all on foot, found me. And my grandma didn't like having animals around in the house or nothing like that. But my grandpa said, no, you can't argue this. So
Drifter earned his name.
Earned his spot, and he earned his name. That's why I called him Drifter. He just showed up.
Amazing.
Yeah.
He You're listening to Native Lights, where Indigenous voices shine. Native Lights is produced by Minnesota Native News and Ampers with support from the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Today, we're revisiting our chat with Rick Holland, animal rescuer and advocate with the Leech Lake Tribal Police.
I have to ask about recent recognition you had. You traveled to Las Vegas for an award. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, the Champ Belt. So Pets for Life gives out several awards each year to the people working for them. So the championship belt is for us for coming together and working to get this clinic, and we have the clinic in the works. It's going to come, either we're going to have a place spot or we're going to break ground one way or the other. That started when I started, of trying to get this going, getting everything together, talking with people, you know, trying to find money. And we have some great partners that are helping us right now, and we have the funding secured. We just have to either turn a shovel of dirt over, or we have to buy this building that's just west of town here.
In addition to, you know, helping animals, pets, you're also in public service. Could you talk about your current work as a 5th District Commissioner?
Yeah, I'm the 5th District Commissioner for Cass County. That started a few years back. I'm in my 5th year now. I was a small business owner in town here, and having a lot of issues with crime, other things going on, and didn't feel I was getting my fair shake on it. And I complained a few times, and they said, well, you can complain all you want. You got to do something about it. So I threw my name in the hat. I don't know that things have got a whole lot better, but I've learned a whole lot more about all this political stuff. I sat on our city council for 6 years. I was a Catholic being a school board member for 18 years. I was chairman of the Minnesota Indian Education Association for 2 years. So I've held many hats in public service and love them all. Working with the kids is a big reward too. I love working with kids. So I do a lot with, like, my grandkids. I have them foster some animals for us. They're 9, 8, and 6. Actually, they're out of school now, so they're asking about what the next project is. We'll see.
I'm terrible with political things, but, like, could you talk about what a county commissioner does?
We work on policies to guide the county, work on the budgets, tax levies, stuff like that, try to save money where we can, spend money, and just do things for the betterment of the citizens of the county and making it a better place. It gets to be a little tough some days. Right now I'm the chairman, and it's just a lot of phone calls, a lot of stuff goes on. We have great staff, so I don't have to deal with the whole lot. I call and ask questions. I get back to people with answers, stuff that I don't know. And we go from there. Make changes. You know, we're building for Habitat for Humanity houses in Cass Lake here that we use part of our ARPA money to start a workforce housing fund. And that was a few years back. With the groups we partnered with, that just snowballed. It wasn't long. We had a big pot of money and all, everybody working, and it's coming together. And we're get these ones up, and then we're going to build more. Things like that are happening. Always keep me going.
Any future political aspirations you could tip us off to?
No, I'm pretty much glad I'm where I'm at. Yeah, somebody was teasing me about running for the state. Chairman Fairbanks and Waiters called me. He's a good friend of mine. He said, I'm going to put your name in that hat. And I said, don't you dare. That'll be the end of our friendship. I'm happy where I'm at. Leave me alone.
So, I thought I would ask.
Well, Rick, can you say a little bit about, like, what keeps you motivated? What keeps you going with your work, whether it's with the county or with pets?
I want better for everybody. For my family, for my grandkids coming up, a better place, taking care of this earth, you know. It's all got to play in harmony. I was a logger for 12 years, worked for a fellow. That was the worst job of my life. It bothered me every day what I was doing. But I had to make a living, take care of my family. And finally, one day, I just couldn't take it no more. I said, I'm done. I got to walk away from this. Playing really hard on my health, and I think part of it was also concerned about what I was doing. Left there and went to work for a guy for 15 years and bought a business from him. And I did that for a while. And then the COVID pretty much killed my business. So you know, I waited a long time to do the job I should have been doing 40 years ago. Pets for life. I wish I could have been here a long time ago, that's for sure. Because I love it. It's